This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is Veterans Day, and every year for quite some time, we've been taking this time to talk to a couple of veterans from our area, and we have got, first of all, Gwendolyn Best in here. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Kyle.
So, you've got 26 years of military service. Looks like 20 years active duty, 6 years in the reserves?
Correct.
And what got you interested in serving in the military?
Well, I babysat for people when I was in high school. And one of the ladies that I babysat for had been a Marine. And she had some memorabilia in her house, and I'd been looking at it, and I talked to her about it, and she loved it. She was in for 2 years and had a great time and thought it was wonderful. So I thought, why not?
Wow. Now, when you joined, what year were we talking?
1971.
So you were in the Marines and National Guard both, right?
Correct.
So not a lot of people do that, I don't think.
No.
So what led to going from one to the other?
Well, when I got out of the Marines initially because I got married and I got pregnant. And at that time, you couldn't stay in. So I got out. Then I went home and had the kids, and my husband went overseas, and I went to a recruiter to join the reserves. By then, they would let you be in. But I lived in Gardnerville, Nevada. The closest reserve center was in Reno, and what they had up there was a recon unit, which is reconnaissance. And at the time, that's all men. So I knew they wouldn't let me be in the unit, but they would let me drill there if I joined the Marine Reserves. But they were going to make me type morning reports and all that kind of stuff. I was a trained communicator, and that's what I wanted to do. So somebody told me, go down to the fairgrounds because there's a recruiter there. So I went to the recruiter. It turned out to be the Army National Guard, and they had a slot for a communicator. And the Marines, when I got out, said, if you think you're going to get out and come back in and keep your rank and keep your time and grade, forget it. You're going to lose all that. When I talked to the Army National Guard recruiter, I said, now I want my time and grade and my rank. And he said, yeah, no problem. So I signed up.
And talk about some of the things you did with that role and in being a communication specialist.
Well, in the Marines, I was in San Diego. That's where the school was. And then I was stationed there at the headquarters department. I worked in the general's building. All in those days, we didn't have email and we didn't have texting. It was all letters or in the mail. Or you called people and talked to them. So the communication center, all the different departments on base, the divisions, would type up what they wanted to be sent to headquarters or to other commands. And that included orders for people to ship out, reports, morning reports, how many people we have, how many are in the hospital, and so forth. Troop movements. We got troop movements from Vietnam. And casualty reports. We got those and typed them on teletype paper, which is about an inch wide, yellow rolls of teletype paper, and then we'd put it on the big, huge computer we had. It took up a whole room, and it had 5K of memory.
Oh, my.
It was phenomenal for the time. It took 3 decks of IBM cards being fed into it for it to know what to do. And if the power died, it lost its mind. And you had to reload those big decks of IBM cards, and God help you if they were out of order. They had to be in perfect order. It wouldn't work.
Wow, they were so different back then.
It was exciting, though, because the recruiter asked me what I wanted to do. And I put computers, and my orders came back saying, comm center school, and I thought, oh, geez, you know, I'm going to be running a radio, no offense, but I'd be running a radio system or something. And when I went in there and it was a computer system, I was in heaven. You know, it was really exciting.
Now, it sounds like you were ultimately at one point, I mean, managing a lot of things that you had responsibility for, equipment, weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a supply sergeant for a while. In the National Guard, you can move around to different MOSs as the need arises. And so I retrained as a supply specialist at one point, and I was in charge of millions of dollars. I never counted it all up, but lots and lots of trucks and rifles and ammunition and all sorts of stuff. We had to secure it. We had to count it all. It, you know, if there were repairs, I had reports that had to go forward to let headquarters know whether we were mission capable, they called it. If a truck wasn't able to do its job, it had to be reported as non-mission capable. And if you have so many trucks down, you can't do your mission as a unit, and the higher headquarters needs to know that. So,
now, did you end up just staying in Nevada, or did you ever go overseas?
No, I never went overseas, and in a way, that was a little bit of a disappointment. When I was a first sergeant, I tried to get the unit that I was in, which is the 1864th Transportation Company. We ran big rigs, 18-wheelers, which really don't have 18 wheels, but that's a different story. But anyway, I tried to get overseas missions, and I was transferred out of the unit for another mission, and then the unit went to Egypt. So I didn't get to go, which kind of disappointed me a little. But I was proud in the fact that all the soldiers that I had trained and mentored, they all came back just fine. And the ones that went to Iraq, every single one of them came back unharmed. And I take pride in that.
What are some of the things you like best about being in the military?
I love mentoring young folks. It was a joy, and it was something that I didn't think I would really appreciate. But when I was able to give those young kids the tools, the training, the equipment, the time to learn new skills, it was fun watching the light bulbs go off in their head going, oh, yeah, that's how that works, letting them discover that for themselves, and then helping the younger troops become leaders, because that's what it's all about in the military. You have to be able to think on your feet, and we expect that of all of our troops, from the private all the way up. And so it's awesome. And the camaraderie, we had so much fun. Even in tough, tough missions and terrible conditions, we had fun.
What were some of the toughest challenges, though?
Well, we went to, I forget the name of the operation, but we were moving bombs from Herlong Army Depot, and they were going to Tooele Army Depot, which is in Utah. And we were dispatched up there, and there's a whole barracks sitting there, and it was empty. But they put us out in the field in GP medium tents, and the troops were a little ticked off at that. But I, you know, we put them up, and we lived there, and we persevered. The people that were from the Las Vegas contingent of my unit were the most unhappy because it was freezing cold. They weren't used to it. But it came around, time went by, another unit showed up behind us to relieve us. They put them in the barracks. Those barracks hadn't been used in years. And they started putting water through the pipes and the sewer system, and it all backed up. It was horrible conditions for them. So you think you might be in a mess, but maybe you're in a good spot. So it was a lesson learned by all of us not to complain, because things could be a whole lot worse.
So what are your thoughts about, with today being Veterans Day, just in general about veterans and about serving?
My personal opinion about serving is that everybody in this country owes this country something. Not everybody's suited for military service, but certainly they can do something in their hometown, volunteer somewhere, like AmeriCorps, for instance. That's a great program where they actually get paid and they are put in communities to do community service. And there's other things. Churches and so forth have programs that get young people involved. And then if you can, serve in the military. It's a learning process. You get away from home and you got to stand on your own 2 feet and you got to be accountable for yourself and you grow up. And I know some of the young people don't want to hear that, but it makes you a much better person in the long run, more easily adaptable to changing situations, for sure.
All right, Gwen Best, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Kyle.
Our second segment in a moment. It's Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, our Veterans Day program, second interview. We are talking to Bill Mixon. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
So talk about what led you to serving in the military.
The reason I actually joined was because I had too many tickets as a teenager in my hot rods and decided I'd better join the military and learn to grow up.
That is one I've never heard before.
It's the truth.
Now, you were in the U.S. Army what years?
From 1968 to 1970.
Wow, that's right in the middle of some tough action.
Yes, I actually came home on November 10th of 1970, so I was home for Veterans Day in 1970.
Wow, and probably coming home then, not the best reception?
Exactly. It was a poor reception at best.
How did you take that?
Well, at the time, I kind of expected it because of all everything we had heard. There was a lot of negative stuff going on, and we weren't appreciated for the service that we did in Vietnam. And so I kind of knew what was coming, but what you did was to take your uniforms and everything else, put it in your duffel bag, and put it in the closet. And the only people you actually ran around with after you got out of the service for a while were people who you knew had been in the service and understood where you'd been.
So what were some of the places you were stationed?
I started out at Fort Lewis in Washington for my basic training and went from there to Fort Lee, Virginia for training in supply. And then from there, they shipped me to Georgia, to Fort Benning, Georgia. And at Fort Benning, Georgia, the chief of chaplains for the Third Army picked me to work with him. And then from there, when I went to Vietnam, I got sent into logistics, which was closer to my original MOS, which was in supply. And in Vietnam, I worked with a logistics team, and I was United States Army Depot in Quy Nhon was a legal address, but we were in a place called Long My. And we basically coordinated a lot of different projects that the Army was working on. One of the biggest projects that I worked on was getting the 4th Infantry out of Vietnam. And that was a major project. We had to move 50,000 troops in 50-day increments.
How do you do that?
A lot of work. You have to coordinate a team, and because there's people that do the paperwork, people that do the processing. You have to work with the airlines that are shipping troops home. Some are going in different forts, and some of the people are getting stationed in other units in Vietnam, but most of them we were told it was getting the guys out of Vietnam. And President Nixon at the time, I think it was May of 1970, said that he wanted this done. So it was, but it was a lot of work with a lot of people.
Now, you got a Bronze Star. What led to that?
Well, the Bronze Star was for my part of the participation. I was kind of a leader of a group, and I wasn't the actual leader. The major was the leader, but I was the non-commissioned leader. And so I was a Specialist 5, and I basically led a lot of different people and coordinated the work that they would do during the days. And then I would escort convoys with old merchandise that was worn out to the Central Highlands area and bring back the new merchandise that wasn't being used because the people were being shipped out.
So being in that kind of role, did that keep you out of direct action on the...
Yes and no. Escorting a convoy, you're the first person they want to try and slow down because they want to stop the convoy if they can. But it was there was times that there was dangerous things that you were doing. I never fired a weapon over there. You know, I did not have to. I was lucky in that respect. I did have to go to the hospital once for getting ingesting gas because I had a gas grenade land in the back of my Jeep. So, but it was mostly just for the work that I did is the reason I got my Bronze Star. I didn't even get it until I'd been home for 3 or 4 months.
Wow. So you were over there right in the midst of things. You said it was starting to wind down a bit at that point?
It was the first part of the wind down, of everything that we were doing in Vietnam. It took until, 1975, I think, until the, final days. But we knew what was happening. We weren't making any ground. We were told that we can't proceed when we knew if we did proceed, we could probably win the war, but we did not, unfortunately.
What did that feel like?
It was very hard to take, especially when you're over there and you feel like you can accomplish something and you're being told you can't go any further. You've done what you're supposed to do.
Was that hard to not want to challenge?
Absolutely. And, but you learned through the discipline that you had to, there's a reason why they wanted to do what they wanted to do, even though we did not understand it at the time.
So what were some of the toughest challenges being over there?
I think the toughest challenge over there, I think I had 2 telephone calls home was all. Not getting letters from home when you wanted someone to talk to or you needed someone to talk to, or watching somebody that was struggling. And by struggling, I'm saying like in a mental situation. Had one gentleman who was in our unit that had gone to the CO and told him he couldn't take it anymore. He wanted to transfer to a different unit and was told he can't. The next day he committed suicide. And, those kind of things were very difficult to take because he knew we weren't wanted there. So
communication was so much different than it is now. I've talked to folks that have been in things in the last 10 or 15 years and, nightly calls to their spouse or kids and all that. But back then, couldn't do that.
2 calls in the entire year. And had to go about 25 miles from my unit to make that call. It was called a Mars station.
And it was probably a brief call, too.
Yes. And every time you talked, you'd have to say over, and then they could talk to you. There's no interrupting or anything like that at all.
So what did you like, though, about being in the military?
The brotherhood, the things I learned about how to be a leader. And I think that I learned discipline. In other words, if I had something to do, I knew I needed to take the time to understand the outcomes, no matter which direction I was going to go. And so I was able to accomplish quite a bit once I left the service.
And once you came back, what was your life, your career like after that?
When I first came home, I had problems. I had some PTSD. I didn't understand it, didn't know what it was, didn't think it was PTSD. I smoked pot. I drank hard until I met my wife in 1975. And I quit everything at that point. But it was hard at first, and I ended up going to work at JCPenney in the auto center. They used to have auto centers years ago. And I had a long career with them, and they also helped me.
Now, was that where were you at then?
Kennewick, Washington. And that was where I'd gone through high school and stuff. And we had about 20% of our class in Kennewick High that went into the service, which was very high.
What led you to Roseburg?
Retirement. And when I used to live in the Portland market for a number of years, I worked with JCPenney for a long time, and they used to transfer us all over the place. I was transferred to Portland and Salem, from Salem to Anchorage, and then I came back to the Portland area. And we stayed with them until they wanted to move me to Texas, and I said no. And I went to work. I ended up working for Coastal Farm and Ranch, and I loved it. And then when it came time for retirement, I wanted to be close to a VA. And Roseburg, it looked like they had a hospital, which I found out was kind of not true. It's more of a clinic. It used to be a hospital, and I got involved with the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Chapter 805 here in Roseburg. And we started a program on Save the VA. It had been going on for a number of years, but we had a different approach to it at that point, and we're still working on that. And it looks like we're going to get a veterans home at some point. And as soon as we get the veterans home, that should open the doors to the urgent care. And I think it'll be a lot better.
What are some of your thoughts about just Veterans Day in general and about serving?
I think Veterans Day in general is a day that we should all take a moment and pause. To me, it's not about sales and furniture and sales at all the stores. It's about appreciating your brother. We call each other brothers in the service, whether it's female or male. But, you know, it's just a brotherhood type thing. And the, you know, it's been, I think we've only had 20 to 30 years of time in America's history where we haven't been at some sort of a war. And so it's appreciation of the people who set the foundation that we walk on. And so that's kind of what it means to me. And that's another reason why I joined. My father was in the Navy in World War II, and I kind of wanted to go that direction. But living in Kennewick, Washington, they didn't have any big ships anywhere near. So I joined the Army. So.
All right, Bill, thanks for your service.
All right, thank you.
That wraps up our Veterans Day segment for today on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.